Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All good?
Yeah. What do you take away from that, Joe? I guess big picture question, just given how sloppy and tough it seemed at the time the game there was a moving
point. There was nothing that was the standard last night, right? It's when you turn the ball over three times, you have seven penalties. It's hard to beat a team. It's hard to beat any team in the NFL. It's really hard to beat a team in the NFL and while also having to overcome beating yourselves. And that first half especially was about as bad as it gets, right? And have opportunities the way defense was playing right there. You have opportunities to not necessarily put the game away, but you have opportunities to take a lead. And instead, we kind of gift wrap them some points. Disappointing from that, but definitely wasn't the standard, and our guys kind of understand that.
Hey, Joe, Sean, after the game, and then again just a few minutes ago, agreed or kind of said that he felt like at times it was too cute. I think generally when you hear that, you think of offensive football.
Mm-hmm.
Do you share that opinion that you felt that it was too cute at times?
Define cute.
Well, I guess I'd have to ask Sean to define it.
Yeah, okay.
That's the phrase that he used.
Okay.
He went on to continue. He was asked specifically about the attempted handoff to Dawson that didn't work.
Yeah.
He didn't want to single out that play, but he said, and I'm paraphrasing here, that doing what you do best, running downhill at them.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of where he was going with
it. That makes sense. Look, a lot of plays that we have are two play calls, and did we fumble on that play? Yes. You look at the look right there, and you hand the ball off, and Dawson gets it. You got two on two, and you run on the safety, and you're not thinking twice about it. Based off of the look that they presented. But we evaluate everything right there, especially early in the game, you're getting different structures. With some of the guys they had back, and trying to get a feel of how it's being played. We knew we were going to run a flea flicker on the first change of sudden change. It just so happened they had a turnover after our turnover, so we were doing that. That could have been in the third quarter. That could have been first play of the game after they had a turnover. So I don't think there was any being cute. I think it was more of us, especially early, trying to get a feel of, with some of the new acquisitions coming back, with 48 being back, the different type of defensive structures that they were playing, how the game was being played, trying to get a feel of that. And some of the alerts might not have been exact what we were wanting, but we feel good on the alerts because we feel like, hey, we're going to have numbers or accounts for that, and we're always going to kind of roll with that. And I have no issues giving the ball to Dawson Knox on the edge, on the perimeter. It's another guy that they have to that's not a gadget play to us. It's not anything other than it's just no different than an outside zone play to us. We do it a lot, especially with Elijah and Curtis. But our execution, our detail was not to the standard for anything last night, and that was kind of a microcosm of it. You go down and score right there. You're moving the football. You had a penalty on the first play, but you overcome some of those with Josh, and we put the ball on the ground, and we've made a point to not turn the ball over. And when you turn the ball over three times, I don't care how good of a team you are, you're not going to be able to overcome that often unless defense gets four, and that's really hard. So Cute or not, we weren't good enough last night.
There's a fine balance between Josh bringing up the solo Superman game and maybe pressing some. Did you find him pressing a bit in certain times yesterday?
No, I don't think Josh. I mean, when you watch, maybe just calling the plays with him. Maybe sometimes you're out on the sidelines or at the game, you feel it. But just calling the plays to him and communicating to him on the sidelines and seeing how the game's being played. I don't feel a sense of Josh pressing these days. I think he's in control. I think he understands. Sometimes people think when Josh scrambles that it's him pressing. Sometimes Josh sees a seam and it's man coverage and they don't have anybody accounting for him and he's going to take it and he's going to kind of roll with it. Sometimes people think with him scrambling that it's him pressing. Sometimes it's him just out of the pocket and, you know, keeping a play alive. And so, I think sometimes you can see a quarterback pressing more so by like decision making or errant throws or where, but you know, from a ball placement standpoint and some of those, I didn't see any, I didn't feel any pressing from Josh last night.
Just to follow up, because I guess what I'm referring to is some of the inside runs, those holes close really quickly, more unusually quickly than they usually do. I'm not sure if you recall runs, and we saw him perform like across his body more yesterday than I think we've seen in a long time. I'm not sure what that was.
Yeah, no, I don't think anything in particular. Like I said, there was different front structure, at least early, that we had seen, you know, that we're trying to get a feel of, especially as the game kind of gone from, you know, in the run game. And look, they obviously did a great job over there. But I didn't see anything out of the ordinary with some of his, you know, throwing mechanics and throwing techniques.
Did you evaluate the separation from your wide receivers after watching the game back?
I think separation is always, it's a term that gets used a lot when, you know, what is considered good separation, depending on the type of route that they're necessarily running. And sometimes it's a route that you're not going to get a lot of separation. Maybe at the top, you might have to get a lean. Sometimes it's a, you know, hey, they're running a deep crossing pattern and look, it's going to be really hard to get any separation in man coverage. You know, you hope that you have the, you know, from a scheme standpoint, I have something else that, you know, complements it so that they can then play both routes. Look, we got a good amount of man coverage last night. You know, we had some opportunities that we won on, some that we have to make better plays on the ball. It's always, there's not many players in the NFL that are just going to truly run away from guys in man coverage. Look, that corner tandem's probably the best we'll face all year. You know, but we obviously have to continue to improve both scheme and, you know, at the top of our routes and cleaning that up. Again, not something that I'm concerned about, but at the end of the day, you know, we are what we put on tape, and last night wasn't good enough. And, you know, so from a whole, from separation, from winning in man, from, you know, running the ball, pass, everything wasn't good enough. And, that kind of summed it all up.
I guess an easier way, more direct way of asking that question is, did you think guys were open enough for Josh?
I mean, if Josh is scrambling, there's sometimes where guys could potentially be open and Josh is scrambling because he sees the seam, right? You think back to the Saints game, he had that incredible run and, you know, Dalton's running open, but you just take a drop right there and it's one thing when the clicker and it's like, oh, this guy's open, but it's like, hey, what does that pocket actually look like in live person and him seeing it and kind of going. Sometimes you can get a feel of like, hey, guys aren't open and this is why you're scrambling. Sometimes it's, hey, this might be a play and they did a good job disguising man and we're running a zone concept in man, and is that the receiver's fault that, you know, there's not separation when we're running a zone scheme, or is that a scheme fault, right? And so I think there's a combination of I don't think there's any one specific point to it, but I think regardless of anything, you know, we're going to have to continue to improve in man coverage on early downs, not just on third down.
Specifically, Sean, when talking about him getting sat down for that first season.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
First series need more consistency. Mm-hmm. From your perspective, you know, early in this second year, how can he kind of achieve more consistency?
I think just being where he's supposed to be when he's there, doing his job, doing his 1/11th, and just being accountable to the 10 other guys in the huddle with him at any given moment. You see the growth, you see the plays, you know, that he has out there, but it just needs to be the consistent level. We have some opportunities in 1-on-1 coverages, and you know, there's opportunities that, you know, Keanu will be the first to say he's got to make. You know, I think it starts throughout the week in practice and carries over to the game. And so that's the, if you're consistent throughout the week, you'll be consistent in the game.
I know everybody is such a big part of this offense working, right? Like the mantra and like the ideology. But Keon specifically is a high draft pick in year two. You need a lot from him. Do you feel like he's been up to the challenge so far through 5 weeks?
Yeah, and Keon has high expectations for himself, right? And as do every, you can't play wide receiver in the NFL without always feeling like you can doing more and having high expectations of yourself. But all we ask Keon is to do whatever we're asking him to do on that particular play, regardless of, you know, it might not be every single game he's going to be kept getting 12 targets and have an opportunity to go 150 yards. Like, you know, that might not be how our offense is kind of rolling. But if he's where he needs to be and Josh trusts him to be where he's going to be, you know, good things are going to happen. And that's something that, you know, with Josh and the chemistry with all the receivers is, you know, last night we obviously had opportunities and we didn't cash in on those. And, you know, but I don't put into like, oh, hey, we're five games in now and he has to be at this point or else it's not a success. Like, just keep working. It's a long season. We've had highs. We've had lows. We've won games. We've lost games for every player, you know, coaches included from some of the play calling. Like, we all just got to continue to find ways to get better. And that's what we're going to do.
Joe, this time last week, we were talking with you about Ray Davis and, you know, you were saying it was on you to get him a little more involved. He played just six snaps last night. What are the challenges of getting him more involved in the game?
Yeah, I think I said it last week, right? Like, it's the reality and, you know, maybe as some of it is how our offense is played. We don't have a lot of, we average around 8 drives a game and, it is tough. It is tough getting the guys in the mix. And especially when we had, the way that we played last night, you know, it's really hard to kind of get everybody kind of going. It was hard to even get Jimbo going. You know, and then some of the looks that Ray's getting, it's not ideal looks to be able to run the ball. It's hard to get in a rhythm. I still believe that we're at our best when everybody's kind of going. I think last night was, it was tough to kind of get people in a rhythm because we really, you know, so I would have loved it for him to get more, you know, and I might be saying that every game, right? I can say that same about some of the wide receivers and Hawsey. There's a lot of guys that like to get more reps, but I also don't want to force it and make it a, hey, this guy has to play this many plays because, you know, I can't guarantee how many plays are going to happen in the game, but I still believe we're better when all those guys are playing.
Into a rhythm. Is there anything else he can do behind the scenes to kind of be ready when those moments present themselves, or is it just kind of a matter of you need to be in the game to get that going?
I mean, for a running back, I think it is no different than a receiver. You might be working a release plan against a DB and you want to be able to work some releases before you're having to actually kind of do some things against them, and you're not just coming in cold. No different than a running back, getting a feel of how the game's being played, the flow, the way the linebackers, the way the line's being blocked. You know, I think Ray and Ty get a lot of reps in practice of understanding how, you know, how we're approaching the blocks, how we're going to do it. But it's one thing to get in practice and get in the game. But just continuing to take advantage of the practice reps that you're getting, asking the questions and kind of rolling with it. I have all the confidence in him. Now it's just a matter of him getting those opportunities and then making the most of it. It is tough when you only get six carries. I think it's a natural, not saying he's pressing, but it's natural to feel like you got to do something with those when you don't get a lot, you know.
Curtis Samuel to carve out a role in this offense again. He's making an impact after the start of the season.
Yeah, I think the first thing is being able to be a kick returner, right? That helps, you know, when you're able to contribute on special teams, it gives you an opportunity to be up on game day. And look, there's one, you know, Curtis has a speed element to us. He has a physicality to it, you know, to our offense that, you know, we can move him around and do a lot of things with him. But, you know, the fact that he was willing and able to do carve a role on special teams has allowed us to be able to continue to use him more on offense.
Sean said that you guys did a good job of resetting in the second half without giving things away. How do you reset as an offensive coordinator after a slow first half?
I'm not a yeller, especially at halftime, right? I like to sit down with the guys and let's talk, like, regardless how the first half went, whether it went good or bad, I hope that we have the same approach at halftime and let the guys know that it's going to be completely different these next 30 minutes. And this is the plan of attack that we're going to go out for the start of the second half. We know that they're going to make adjustments too, and we're going to have to respond. I think our guys did a good job last night of, it was frustrating in the first half. It was, but I think they showed in the first drive of the second half that, hey, they're able to reset and not, kind of let the first half bleed into the second half and understand that, you know, because that's been something some of the games before that we've come out, we've had a good first, and then we've kind of hit a lull, and, you know, we have to continue working on that. But our guys, I don't think our guys blink. Our guys understand how good of an offense that we can be, but we have to earn it, and we have to show it every week. We can't just show up and think that we're going to be a great offense.
What did you love most about Kincaid's play last night?
I think you saw in the first drive of the game, right, the plays off schedule, him making those critical catches and Josh trusting him in those moments. But I thought he was outstanding last night. Like, you had to feel, if you felt two guys out on the football field yesterday, you felt Josh Allen, you felt Dalton Kincaid, and just for his confidence and everything. But that's what we've seen from the last 6 months. And it was really good to see him just continuing to make those plays and those opportunities. And, you know, I kicked myself in the New Orleans Saints game. I didn't give him enough opportunities towards it until the end of the game. And getting him involved is helpful to our offense. And, you know, he made the most of those opportunities last night.
You mentioned the flea flicker. How do you balance a sudden change, whether it's a big play, long game by the offense, or a turnover, of wanting to keep a defense reeling versus staying ahead of the sticks?
Yeah, I think every week we kind of look at sudden change a little, you know, every week it's a little different. Some, depending on what defenses do on sudden change, you're talking sudden change opportunities, without giving it away. I think every week we kind of look at to see what defenses are doing. And sometimes, you know, defenses are playing for the big play coming off of a sudden change, right? And so you have to weigh the consequences of, hey, do I take it? But I might have great opportunities for some outlets. Are we going to get a type of defense that'd be really good at just getting the ball out, throw easy completion, stay ahead of the chains, or run game? Or is this going to be a great opportunity to be able to take a shot? And so we kind of look into it every week. This week we just had the mindset of, like, hey, we've practiced it, you know, let's dial it up whenever. And it just so happened to be earlier in the game, there was no set, like, hey, this is going to be the play that this is going to be, other than, hey, when that happened. Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.